The roads may be slippery partway, but let's go for a trip to Indianapolis. I know it's daylight out, but it's really nice to go down on the circle in Indianapolis and see all the beautiful lights. How would you go if you were going? Probably the majority of you from this point would go up 50 to 37 and take 37 to 465, possibly then take 465 to 31 and take it right to the circle. That's probably the way most of you would go. But what's wrong with going over here on 50 to 60, taking 60 to over to 65, and then take 65 to 465? Huh? That's not a bad road, is it? Pretty good road. If it wasn't Sunday, we could go 150 to 64 to 265 and stop off at Bass Pro and then go on up 65 after we were at Bass Pro for a few hours. Go on up 65 to 465. Would that be the way to go if you wanted to go to Indianapolis? See all the lights on the circle? Not getting much response out of you. You're thinking that it's a trick question or something. Well, maybe we could just go over here to Lagodi and take 231 and weave our way around a little bit. Finally, get up there somewhere. Or you could go on over to Washington and take 57 up to 67. But be careful when you're going through Worthington because there's cops there. Voice of experience. 67 to 465, and then you'd probably take it on up there to 70 and swing it across and then hit 31 on right on into the circle. Have you ever been to the circle in Indianapolis to see the lights? Anybody? So maybe that's why there's a few. That's why some are kind of wondering what's so big about. A lot of people travel long distances to go see the lights in the circle of Indianapolis at Christmas time. Just like a lot of people travel into Nashville to see all the lights down there at the Grand Ole Opry and stuff like that. A beautiful setup. Just a gorgeous scene to see. But we're going to Indianapolis, though. That's where we want to go this morning. We want to see the lights in Indianapolis. Well, let's see here. How else could we go to Indianapolis? Well, we could go 50 all the way over to Vincennes and take 41 up. You know, that's not a bad route, really, because once you get into Washington there, it's four-lane highway, good, smooth road all the way over to Vincennes, and then you have four-lane highway that's newly been recently redone all the way up to Terre Haute, and then you hit 70 and come back into Indianapolis and 465, or if you swing right on straight into 31 and then take it to the circle. That's probably not a bad route right there. We're not talking about fuel economy. We're not talking about miles. We're not talking about any of that kind of stuff. Just what is your favorite route? What would be the one that you choose if nothing else was a factor? I would probably choose 150 down to 64, to 265, and then get twisted around there a little bit and head south on 65 instead of north right off the bat, you know. Oh, I went the wrong way, honey. Let's take this exit right here. It's exit 5. Oh, look, right over there is Bass Pro. You know, many roads lead to the same place, don't they? Different roads lead to the same place. Many different combinations of roads leads to the same place. If you wanted to go the scenic route, you could probably go right up here to one of these roads heading north and jump from road to road through the country and see all the flatlands, cornfields that have been picked, and soybean fields that are picked, and many different combinations of roads lead to the same place. So what? Brother Ziegler, where are you going? What road are you on? Well, you see, earthly stories have heavenly meanings. It's called parables. And so we could use a parable like Jesus did to teach a principle or to teach some kind of a standard or a truth about heaven. That's what Jesus did so many times. He preached or taught with parables, using earthly stories to get the message across that he's trying to get across in regards to heaven. Many roads lead to the same place. Could we name a few roads that lead to heaven? You know, there's the Holiness Road. There's the Baptist Road. There's the Pentecostal Road. There's the Presbyterian Road. There's the Lutheran Road. There's the Methodist Road. There's the Judaism Road. There's the Islam Road. Many roads lead to the same goal. We're being forced to believe it that way. More and more, we're seeing and hearing it that is the way that we must accept it. Now, the frightening part about it is that there's so many people that call themselves Christian or even holiness who are not only being in the realm of being forced to accept it, but I find that they are believing it. Oh, no, not me, Brother Ziegler. We may say that we don't believe it, but sometimes I wonder if in our actions, behind the frontal part of our mind, we are in reality believing it. Because of the way we act. We may not want to say that we believe that many roads or all roads lead to the same place, but you know, I respect the Baptist people. There's some good people in a Baptist church or the Methodist church or whatever church. There's some good people all around us. As a matter of fact, there's some pretty good sinners. There's some mighty fine sinners. Jesus taught with parables. But if you heard anything I've said already this morning, started talking about going to Indianapolis, I want you to hear me right now. Jesus taught with many parables, but that does not mean that every standard of society teaches some truth of holiness or some principle of heaven. Not every parable or standard of society or life teaches, not everyone teaches a truth about heaven or a principle about heaven. You know, we've heard it said so many times, I'm sure you have as well as I have, once a son, always a son. You know, my boys, they may try to get away from being my son, but they will always be my boys. They may even do some things sometime deliberately to make me want to say they are not my boys, they're her boys. But they're still always my boys. Once a son, always a son. I've also heard it said that you cannot reverse adoption. Not every standard of living or standard of society teaches a truth about heaven or a principle about heaven. Many roads lead to the same place. That is a reality in our lives. Many roads, you can take just any road you want to go and you can eventually arrive in Indianapolis if you go that way, whatever. You can go straight south and eventually end up in Indianapolis to the north if you swing around, take different roads and get there. What does Jesus have to say about this thing of many roads leading to the same place? You say, well, nothing. He didn't talk about roads. Oh, he does talk about roads. As a matter of fact, he limits it to two roads. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. He very clearly tells us that there is only two ways in which a person can travel, but the startling thing is they lead to two separate destinations. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Okay, that's one of them. That's one way, he said. Verse number 14, straight is the gate, narrow is the way. There's the other way, the other direction. This way leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Do you remember that song, that chorus that we sang as kids? I met Jesus at the crossroads, where the two ways meet. Satan too was standing there, and he said, come this way. Lots and lots of treasures I will show to you today. But I said, no, there's Jesus here. Look what he offers me, or see what he offers me. Down here, my sins forgiven. Up there, a home in heaven. That's what the chorister said. And for himself, he said, praise God, that's the way for me. Jesus said there's two ways, not many roads, but two roads. And they each lead to a different destination. That tells us that there's really only one way to get to heaven. We can argue the point all we want to. We can run around Robin Hood's barn, as it were, trying to prove some other thing, but in reality, there's only one way. And Jesus very clearly, you know, it's Christmas season. We're talking about Christ coming. He came for one purpose, and that one purpose was to show us the way to heaven. To provide the way to heaven. Jesus said very clearly in John's Gospel, chapter 14, in response to a question of Thomas, how can we know the way? I don't know. I can argue about how sincere Thomas was, and because we find that Thomas was, we call him the doubter. You know, was he really sincere in these question times? I don't know how sincere he was. I can only believe that he was very sincere because of the confusion of the day in the religious realm. And so he asked Christ, how can we know the way? And Jesus' response is in verse number 6, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And he narrows it down with this next statement. No man or no person comes to the Father but by me. There's two ways. Let's look at them here real quick again. The broad way. You know, the broad way in our mind would signify that it allows everything. Everything can be on the broad way. Everybody can be on it. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what your ideas are. It doesn't matter where you come from. Everybody can be on the broad way. Because there's enough room on the broad way for everybody. I like traveling on the highway that has multiple lanes. Because surely if you have multiple lanes, you're able to get in somewhere and keep on moving. Instead of getting behind somebody that's sightseeing. The Broadway has room for everybody. You can go slow, you can go fast, you can go medium, you can sightsee, or you can go to your destination just as fast as you want to go. It doesn't matter. The Broadway has room for everybody. There's no limit of views. There's no limit of speed here. There's no limits. It's just plain go. There's no legalistic tie-downs. You know, in other words, there's just a whole lot of freedom. I've never been so free in all my life. Get rid of all that legalistic idea and doctrine. Just a side note, though, I kind of wonder, the very people that argue about against legalism still have rules in their lives. They still draw the line somewhere for some things. So if some things are legalistic because they establish guidelines, then why isn't everything? If you throw away some things because of legalism, then really you need to throw away all rules. Because legalism can come from any kind of a rule. The straight gate, though, the straight, narrow way, it tells us there, Jesus tells us there, something that we may choke on a little bit, or some people may choke on a little bit. Few there be that find it. Oh, I tell you what, it's not that it's just because a few people find it. It's just simply that, well, it's not the popular thing, but there's a lot of people that are going to be in heaven. Well, I don't have any doubt there might be some people in heaven that I didn't expect to see there. But again, you know what the next statement is. On the other hand, there's going to be some people not there who I did expect to see there. So we can't base that as a full criteria of what heaven's going to contain or who's going to be there simply because we thought it. Few there be that find it. Why would Jesus say such a thing? If it's limited to a certain church, then I guess we could say that few there be that find it. Because there's only so many people can fit in one church. Even if it's the largest church in the world, which I think is in Korea. What does it seat? 20,000 people. Even if it was that church, that's still pretty few in comparison to the population of the world. Few there be that find it. I don't think it's in any of those ideas of why it would be few that find it, except simply because few there be that find it because it's a holy way. It's a narrow way. And that narrowness would signify to us exactly the opposite of the broad way, where anybody's ideas and anybody's doctrines and anybody's thoughts is acceptable. We narrow it down to this way, and there's only one idea, and there's only one doctrine, and there's only one way to believe, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Few there be that find it. Love not the world, neither the things of this world. It's a one-lane road. There's not a whole bunch of passage going on here because it is narrow. It is limited. There is a structure to it that only allows certain things. The thing that is certain to be allowed on this road is those or are those who are surrendered to the will of God. Do we understand what it means to surrender to the... I think Adam touched on that Wednesday night a little bit. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Do we understand that? The way that it really means. Surrendered to the will of God. It's no longer I but Christ, Paul said. You see, that's the only way to go on this road to heaven. Many roads lead to Indianapolis, but only one road leads to heaven, and that is the holy way. Jesus followed that up. Your King James Bible probably shows a paragraph change there at verse number 15. I don't know, again, if that's a necessity, but I do know that he followed that up, that statement up about the two ways, with another statement that surely goes with the previous statement of the two ways. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, dressed up, in other words, fancied up, looking like that they're out to help you spiritually, but ultimately leading in another direction. Maybe not boldly, but in subtle changes. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They are out to destroy you. False prophets would give to you an idea that nothing is wrong, or that's not wrong, or this isn't wrong. And they could influence you to go in some way that is less than love the Lord thy God with all your heart. A lot of issues we could talk about in that regards. We could spend a lot of time dealing or discussing the various aspects of the walk of holiness. The walk of holiness that would be expressed in our outward adornment, in the way that we conduct ourselves, the way that we talk, and the way that we live. But you see, that's just an outward sign of what He has done inwardly. You see, the bottom line of this holy way comes to us very clearly when the disciples, Peter in particular, made mention of what took place to them at the day of Pentecost sometime later as he was discussing it. You remember what perhaps you know what I'm referring to. There was a time when some other people had their little Pentecost day or their little Pentecost experience, and the question was brought up, how can it be that they are able to have this blessing? And Peter said, making no difference between them and us, purifying their hearts by faith. You see, that's the bottom line. The bottom layer of the way of holiness. We can argue ourselves around it all we want to, but you see, that is the bottom line of the way of holiness, that He purifies their heart by faith. Well, we're supposed to struggle from now until death with pride and jealousy and envy, because they are issues of the heart. Because they are issues of the nature of man. And so we allow ourselves to struggle with these issues of the heart because they are a part of the nature of man. But Peter defined it better than that. Peter defined it as a purifying of the heart, which means that the nature or the evil element of the nature of man has been removed by the purifying fire of the Holy Spirit. Now, purification does not involve leaving some impurification behind. Purification means that the impure has been removed. Maybe we need to go back to the original language and define purifying their hearts by faith. And I suppose that we could. I suppose that we could debate and go around and try our best to prove that it's not really saying the removal of the impurifications of the human nature. But if you look at what has already been studied out, the same thought continues to come out even in the multitude of various translations that have any validity whatsoever. It still shows the same in-depth cleansing that the King James renders it. Simply purifying their heart by faith. It's there. It is the holy way. Or as the Old Testament writer said, the way of holiness. It's a high road. It's a narrow road. We don't bring our ideas in with us. We come into the road with the idea that we're following Him and following Him simply, singularly. Not my way, but thy way. Many roads lead to Indianapolis, but there's one road that leads to heaven, and that is the way of Jesus Christ. He who came on that first Christmas so long ago, not just so that we could have this great celebration, but He came so that He would show us, so that He could show us the way to heaven. And He tells us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Are we on that road? It's not limited to one church, one denomination, or one independent work. Some here this morning could make it. Some here this morning might not make it. It doesn't matter what church we go to. Are we following the roadmap that Jesus Christ has given us? Let's stand together this morning.